Ladies and gentlemen, it's North London Derby time. Oh yes, here we go. We are at that point in the season for the first adventure into the North London Derby. Joining me for this evening's combo, Kevin Says and the Friday Fan Forum, is Super Kevin Campbell himself. Welcome, KC.
Good to be back, Soph. Great to be back with you, darling. And it is Derby weekend. We love it. Can't wait.
Form goes out the window for games like this, and we'll talk about what we fancy a little bit later on. But here we go, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, you've got Super Kevin Campbell at your disposal right here. He is ready to answer all of your questions, whether you agree or disagree. We've had a ton come through on YouTube. We're going to have a couple people join us in the chat as well, including a Spurs fan. So we'll look forward to that. But for now, here we go with Kevin Says. It's in three short vignette parts. 5 or 6 minutes, listen to this, and get ready to throw your questions to KC. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is a special Kevin Says, number 8. This is before the North London Derby. And this is obviously certain places, the lockdown series is kind of finished, but we're looking to still produce content on the Highbury squad and at One Kevin Campbell on YouTube, etc. So first thing I want to say is thank you to Sophie and Amanda at the Highbury squad and all you participants who join in, come in, and we have some great debates. Some agree, some don't. You know, all the guests that come on, it's fantastic, and we're definitely looking to ramp things up and make it as exciting as ever for all you gooners and everybody who listens, because I know it's not just Arsenal fans who listen, which is good. I also want to say, look, whatever happens, we all love Arsenal. That's the key. And we really want the best. I know that's what we want. But there's three things I want to go through, because many people don't realize sometimes what these things mean. So I'm just going to put things into context. This gives a little plug into the truth that we had. Oops, that's my blower. Let me turn that down. So there's the process, number one, the process. People get all bent out of shape about the process. The process is anything, any goal that is set, and all the steps to get there. That is the process. So, again, anybody who tells you nonsense about, oh, you know, what is the process? What is the process? The process is trying to be the best. The process is trying to win the Premier League. The process is trying to win trophies. That has to be the process of a football club. And that should be the process of a big club like Arsenal. That is the process. And whether Arteta is in or is out, whichever manager comes in has to have a process. Because a manager who comes in and doesn't want to win anything, he's never going to be Arsenal manager, that's for sure. So let's just simplify that. That takes care of that. That's the process. Number two is system. I hear so much people talking about the system's wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong. Let me just tell you, the system never makes the players. It's always the players that make the system. Always. Because let's look at it this way. If it's the system, Man City, Barcelona, they have the system, they will be winning all the time because of their system. But it ain't, it's the players. When you take Vincent Kompany out and you take David Silva out, they're not as strong, are they? No. And look at what's been decimated from Arsenal. From that great Arsenal team at Highbury. Look at the players who are no longer there. Look at the players who don't have the mindset of that group. That's why we're languishing. That's why we're in. That's why the chickens have come home to roost. So it's not the system. It's always the players. We've seen poor Arsenal teams. We've seen Arsenal teams with flair that score goals that have been blown away before half time at clubs that have got a toughness. Clubs that have got a mentality. And that takes me on to the third point, which is probably the most important, is the culture. Arsenal's culture over the last 10, 15 years has been woeful. And there's no, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you the truth and the facts. It has been woeful. In this time, Arsenal, from top to bottom, have not, and I repeat, have not wanted to be the best and develop and improve that squad. They have not. Culminating in the chickens coming home to roost, and in the summer we get embarrassed because we can't even shift players on. One, we can't shift players because no team wants them or they want them on the cheap. And two, the players don't even want to go because they're on such a good screw up at the Emirates. That tells you everything about the players. Everything. Because normally, a footballer wants to play football. He ain't just happy to sit down and pick up his money. So, look, I'm not knocking anybody for what they do. It's their decisions. But us as a fan base have to sometimes take the rose-tinted glasses off and look at the truth. And the truth is, we haven't been good enough as a club. Let's put it that way, as a football club, for over a decade. It's that simple. And we've papered over cracks with FA Cups. Of course we have. I don't know if anybody's ever looked at a car or looked at a house or something and it looks lovely and you buy it and then you go in and you start opening the cupboards and the cupboard doors are falling off and, you know, there's mold and, you know, there's the hot water, you're struggling for hot water. This is what Mikel Arteta came into. Emery came into a bit of it. Mikel Arteta's taken over and there's a lot to fix, and first to fix is the culture, that winning mentality, that never say die attitude, that when we're not playing well, can we dig in and get a 1-0 win? Can we dig in and not be beat? I don't see it. I see teams coming, and I know when teams come to play Arsenal, You get their best, let me tell you. You get their best because it's such a prize scalp. But people ain't scared to come to the Emirates. People ain't scared to play Arsenal like they were previously. And why? Why were they scared before? Because they used to look at the players and know, oh no, we are in for such a tough game today. Not only is it quality, if you want to play quality, we go quality against quality. But if it got physical, that Arsenal team could be physical as anyone. So this team here, maybe one or two players have that physicality, but realistically, you look along the squad, nice technical players, nice boys, but we're not nasty. We're not tough. And that's what we got to do. We got to put some fear into some teams, and that's what Arteta's going to do. Or he's going to try and do it. So look, I thought I'd do this before the North London Derby, because if Arsenal don't turn up, that tells you everything about. I expect them to turn up. But if they don't, and certain players don't, that tells you everything about the culture. So, look after yourselves. And again, thank you so much for supporting Highbury Squad, Sophie, Amanda, and me as a guest. And I look forward to engaging with you, the fan base, on the Highbury Squad very, very soon. Come on, you Gunners.
Well, as all our listeners know, he's not just any guest. He's our special resident guest, and he's Super Kevin Campbell with his Kevin Says Weekly segment. We did a bonus one for you this week because it is the North London Derby, and you're inspiring a lot of people in the room now, Casey. I know that you're having a little bit of a sound issue on your end, so I'm just going to post some stuff here. This question: who is responsible for upholding the culture at the club, the players or the manager, Casey? From Mike right. Kurtz.
Now, this is a really good question, Mike. And let me tell you, for the latter part of Arsene Wenger's tenure, and this is the truth now. Let's deal with truth. Arsene Wenger always came out and said the dressing room was a good dressing room. It was good. It was a focused dressing room. Even when they messed up, he always said it was a good dressing room. But those same players he said was a good dressing room, Sophie, were going to Anfield and being blown away before half time. Same players. Mm-hmm. So the manager has to take some of it. But the players, when you, I keep saying it, Sophie, and it's going to drive you mad. As a player, when you cross that white line, Sophie, there's only so much your manager could do. There's only so much. He's prepared you. You know exactly what to do. And the first thing you've got to do, Sophie, the first thing, you've got to earn the right to play. You have to earn the right. And what that means is you've got to dominate your opponent. And if the majority of the team dominate their opponent, bingo, you've got them. But that wasn't the case. The case was we play, you play against the likes of Liverpool, the likes of Manchester City, the likes of other teams. And what they used to do is, they used to rub their hands together, Sophie, and come to Arsenal. And when Arsenal went to their place and said, we're going to rough them up and let's see if they fancy it. And we never fancied it, Sophie, never. And I've heard that from managers back then. And it's still the same now. So, again, all of this, oh, Arteta can't do this. No, the culture is wrong. Do you know the great thing about Arsenal fans, Sophie?
Tell me. We know
what the culture looks like and we know what it feels like because we've lived through it. We've seen it. We've seen it there in front of us. That culture, what we had, and this culture now is not the same. We need some of the old to come into the new.
I totally get it. And Mike, that was a great question and our pleasure to answer it. And evening, old school Guna, everyone in chat, thank you for joining us. Now on our stream, we're going to be joined by Anu, who is one of our favorites. Hi, Anu, you're on with Super Kevin Campbell. You tell everyone a little bit about where you're based and what you do.
So I'm originally from Mumbai, India, but right now the past 3 years I've been based in Boston. And I'm a writer and I work in publishing. I studied in England for 4 years, so I do miss being back there and being able to go to games. And but yeah, thank you for having me on. It's a great honor to get to ask Super Kev questions.
nice to meet you, Anushri. Nice to meet you.
So I've actually had some help from a fellow Boston Guna, shout out to Mike Salmon, who helped me brainstorm these questions. He's you're one of his favorite players, so he's send good wishes your way.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. Wish him well.
So because it's, you know, just before the Derby game, my first question that I thought I'd ask was, what was your first experience of playing in the North London Derby like, especially at White Hart Lane? And do you have a favourite Derby that you've played in?
I do have a favourite Derby. The first Derby that I was even involved with, I think, when you're playing, it's whether you're involved or you're playing, it's the same because even though you're not on the pitch,
Anusri.
Yeah.
You are part of the culture. And yeah. and that's the thing. You know, we talk about a culture. It's a winning culture. You train, you prepare. And my first taste of it was the semi-final of the League Cup in 1987. And those games, I was at those games with the team. And obviously, I was at White Hart Lane when they done the draw. And the draw was back at White Hart Lane. And they were celebrating. And they named it and all that. And we had to go back there. And what an epic day that was. And that was kind of the making of the George Graham. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what always struck me was the switch that the players had. Because you played against them in the youth team and academy and stuff like that. But in the first team, in the dressing room, everybody's cool. Everybody's laughing and joking, you know, because all the work's been done. And then when you see them sit down for the team talk and then you see the game face come on, wow, I was like, whoa. It was a totally different level than I'd ever seen. And obviously I was a 17-year-old kid at the time. And I was like, I want some of this. This is what it's all about.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, especially for fans from my generation who were, you know, too young or not even born. Then I was actually born in February 89. So I was, you know, just 3 months old when we did that at Anfield.
Well, you're one of the blessings for us. 89's a good year, honestly. A good year.
It's a lucky year. So you often played, like when you played for Arsenal, you often played in a wider role as well, in a 4 or 5 man midfield, but you were also expected to go forward. So like linking that to Obba, because I still don't think we've found his best position, but what do you think that is and what sort of hinders or helps him when he plays out wide?
Yeah, I think Oba's best position is part of a front two, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think it's part of a front two. I think the way the scheme of the team, what Mikel Arteta set up, especially back end of last season, saw Aubameyang, there were some patterns of play that could release Aubameyang early, depending on the opposition. And that's why Aubameyang was nearly the Golden Boot winner, because we released him in the FA Cup. You could see how we released him in the FA Cup. Pepe cutting balls across the box and great play from deep, releasing him over the top against Chelsea was another great opportunity. But I think what happens now is teams know Aubameyang's there, we're going to make sure he don't beat us. So opposition adjusts to you and you have to be able to, other players have to step up then. But we haven't been playing well enough at all. But again, that's down to the mindset, I think, because, you know, I'm a striker and I played wide for Arsenal many times. Why did I play wide? Because the mindset was there. The hunger was there. You've got to, of course, you've got to work, but you've got to give the opposition a hard time. That's what it's all about. And once you give the opposition a hard time, they start taking steps back. Now you're dominant. And you control the ball and you could get good ball into Ian Wright or Alan Smith or Paul Merson or myself or Anders Lim. You know, that's the way it works. But if you don't fight to earn that right, teams will say, oh, they're not the same Arsenal. And that's where they come for you.
Yeah, I think we are really struggling between, you know, tactics, formation, but also, like you said, that mindset that's been sorely missing. And hopefully
big time.
They can get it back.
Great question.
So an exciting young talent that we've had, you know, been able to see a little bit of is Balogun. And he does have shades of a certain Kevin Campbell in some of his like pace and like strength and the way he moves. From what you've seen, like, what do you think some of his challenges are going to be trying to break into this first team? And what do you think he should be looking at to do that?
If I was looking after Balogun or I was advising him, I would say the first thing he's got to do is got to get out on loan and play football, men's football. because you could score all the goals in the 23s. First team football's different. He's done well. He came on last week in the Europa League and scored with his first touch virtue. Fantastic. That gives him a lot of confidence. But playing week in, week out is totally different. And having that pressure on your shoulders is important. He's got to be able to handle it. And we don't know if he can handle it yet. He looks neat and tidy. He looks like he can play. He's strong. He's quick. But he needs to play week in, week out. Something that we couldn't quite get Eddie Nketiah doing at Leeds. I think we've got to get Balogun out to learn his trade. And honestly, the most important thing is we've got to get him signed up. We can't let him leave. We've got to get him signed up and then get him out on loan, get him playing men's football and let him make a name for himself. Let him score some goals while he's on loan. Let him feel good about himself. He comes back, he'd be a different player. He will grow up so much going on loan and coming back. So fingers crossed he can get that.
No, thank you. Well, I only had three questions. I didn't want to take any more of your time. But
you smashed it.
Three very good questions, I must say. Three very good questions.
Thank Excellent. You. Again, shout out to Mike because he was like on the phone to me because he was like, I'm in work.
Is that Mike Hertz? Mike Hertz?
No, Mike Salmon.
Mike Salmon. Okay.
He's a fellow Boston Gooner. He's an expat, was a season ticket holder, like really well versed in the game and one of my favorite.
Love to Mike players. Then. Love to Mike Salmon. Yeah. But hopefully he watches this. Big up, Mike.
Yeah.
Big up to Mike and Anu. Thank you so much for joining us. You're coming back. We're going to do a round table where we'll have you on for much longer. Brilliant questions. Always love your insights. Tell everyone where they can read your stuff and where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, so on Twitter, it's Anu Nande. So that's A-N-U and my last name. And it has all the links to like my website and where you can find my writing.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. It was
lovely speaking to you. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Lots of love.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. 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 Wonderful stuff. So many great Arsenal
great
fans.
Sophie. Yeah. Great questions.
I completely adore her. So we've got our group here will be pleased to know that in about 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to have someone from the enemy on because we like to challenge Super Kev when it comes to Kev Says in the fan forum. And what better way to challenge him than actually have a Spurs fan who's also actually a morning producer at Talk Radio as well. But before then, I'm going to try and get to some of these for you really quick, Casey. A lot of people asking who should start in midfield. I'm going to try and find it and put it up here. But why don't we start with this one from Billy KitKat. Would you play Willian given his record of scoring versus Spurs?
I think Willian might. Listen, if we look at the last game, not the last league game, I don't think Willian had that bad a game. He set up, he had an assist for Gabriel. But I just think as a collective, we're not playing well enough. We're not playing well. But one thing Willian always will do, he will always work. He will always try. Okay. Yeah. The key to all of this, whether Willian plays or not, is going to be a 70% fit Thomas Partey starts for me. Thomas Partey starts.
That could be a surprise.
Sophie, I think you're going to agree with this one. After his performance last night, Maitland-Niles has to play.
Has to. I don't care where he plays. Just play him.
Do you know what, Sophie? He's got to play in that midfield.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why. Because Tottenham in midfield are quite athletic. Mm-hmm. And with Xhaka and Ceballos, they're not athletic. They're good on the ball, but they're not athletic. And we will end up getting overrun. So if you've got Partey, Elneny and Maitland-Niles, we've got more than enough legs in there. And we can take them.
So and KC, he's really the position he wants to play the most. He's been kind of like the jack of all trades and master of none, became master of some at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. It's the natural position that he wants to play in. And I think you just kind of answered Barry's question in terms of who you'd play in midfield. You play a 70% Thomas Partey because he's 120% and 70% compared to some of the players that we have. And there you go. Everyone asking for Maitland-Niles.
Sophie, I think what the joy. Well, listen, it was great to see fans back in the stadium yesterday. A big up to the Arsenal fans. It was great. But you know what, Sophie? Mm-hmm. Maitland-Niles made the midfield spot. And I know it's Rapid Vienna. But we've actually seen Maitland-Niles come off the bench, come from the cold and play 90-odd minutes. Easy. He's athletic enough. He's fit enough. He's an England international. He can play in that midfield. And we saw him breaking forward as well, Sophie. That's the other thing. We saw him breaking forward and making some good decisions also. So why not? Why not?
Why not? Why not? Good evening to Michael Wright. We have a huge fan base following in Trinidad. And good evening to you. I know Super Kev would want to say
Trini Posse. Yes.
And he's loving the positive mindset. And I love the hashtag humble life. We are all about that. KC, do you agree with Robin? Xhaka in midfield against Spurs is suicide unless he's anchored by the players that you talked about.
Yeah, I don't even think Xhaka starts for me, if I'm honest with you. Look, there's certain games where Xhaka can play. But I think part of our problem, Sophie, is teams, when they see our midfield, they look at themselves and they say, right, we're more athletic than you. Mm-hmm. And that's why people think we play with a handbrake on, because opposition's more athletic than us. When you're more athletic, I'll outrun Xhaka. Xhaka fouls somebody. Now he can't make that foul again. So the person just keeps running off him and running off him and running off him. And it looks like they've got more players on the pitch than we've got. I was just on same old Arsenal. And Dan Potsy, he produced this stat about Xhaka.
Yeah, terrible stat. I know, yeah.
About the sideways passing.
The sideways passing, yeah.
Sideways passing and not playing. I think it was out of 400 or 500 passes.
Yep.
There was only 9 passes forward and only 1 in the box.
Yeah.
These type of players are obsolete at Arsenal now. Arteta, I said it before, that recruitment clock is now speeding up. It has to, because he's being loyal to some of these players who he trusts and they're not doing it, it's falling on his neck. So now what he has to do, he's got to speed that up, Sophie. And I truly believe he will speed it up.
Yep, totally. A quick hello to the Philippines as well. 4:30 a.m. Wow. How about that for dedication? Wow. Tubio, thank you so much for tuning in. A Kevin celebration just for you. Okay, before we bring in our special Spurs guest, you know, here on the Highbury squad, we're unafraid to be talking to rival fans and players. Here's a couple of real quick stats before we bring in David. Tottenham are unbeaten in their last 6 Premier League home games against Arsenal, 1-4, drawn 2. The Gunners up until then, Casey, was 1960-1968. Since that run for Tottenham had started. Arsenal have only lost back-to-back Premier League games against Tottenham since May 1993. The team that scores the first goal has failed to win 27 of the 51 Premier League meetings. Here's a good stat. Tottenham have dropped 42 points from winning positions in the Premier League against Arsenal. More than any other side, it's lost again. But Arsenal were going into this fixture in their lowest position since 1993. We're going to add to the stream right now. He's a very hot radio producer from TalkSport, and also he produces the morning show and lots of shows on Talk Radio. Mr. David Levine, welcome to the Highbury squad.
Thanks for having me. That feels a bit dirty, though.
Well, Let me just say that, you know, we all feel a little bit dirty having you on, but it's got to be done because I think it's an interesting perspective to kind of hear you and hear what Kev has to say. Obviously, he's played against Spurs many times. And, you know, you come into this super hot, but we know North London derbies, you can throw the stats out of the window. I'm hoping for one of that 2-0 in the rain game at the Emirates or the 4-2 where Torreira took his shirt off. David, you're on with Super Kev. Why don't you tell us a little bit about going into this and if you feel like we're due a win and you're due a loss?
Look, I think if you look at the way this season's gone, if Spurs come away with any less than 3, it'll be disappointing. I know that it's a North London derby, players get red up for it, but, you know, you're not scoring goals. We're not consoles. We are absolutely scoring goals for fun. You look at Harry Kane, he's set up almost as many goals as you thought. You know, we should actually be going in this flying high, yet we all know how Spurs can be, and that every Spurs fan, despite the fact that we're top of the table, will still have these jitters that it can fall apart. You know, I can text message, you know, days since Spurs won a league title, you know. Yeah, you absolutely can throw that back in our face. Yet at the moment, even if you win this game, we're still going to be in the top 4 and you're going to be mid-table. So it's a difficult one to predict, though.
KC, he's getting a bit feisty there, KC.
He's getting leery. I don't like, hi, Dave. Listen, I'm not liking that, Dave. Although it's true.
But can you disagree with it?
No, I'm saying it's true. I can't disagree with it, but I don't like your tone, David.
The last time I was with you, Sophie, we spoke about your new signing, Pepe, as it was at the time, and how you had a nice young midfield. You had Guendouzi, you've got Torreira, you know, you've got a lot of young players coming through, and if they all fulfill their potential, then you've got a great squad. And I just find it interesting how, you know, a year and a bit later, or you've got a different manager, a somewhat similar squad, and the players that were performing despite having what everyone said was a bad manager in performing now that you've got, you know, the Messiah involved. Are you at all worried?
Yeah, no, I mean, Kevin and I have been going back and forth about Emery versus Arteta and the Premier League record. But I think what Kevin's talking about a lot that's making sense in the last week is kind of, you look at Wenger, you look at Emery, you look at Arteta, and there's a running theme, a little bit like Spurs for you when the wheels came off for Pochettino. Same players trying to put square pegs in round holes, maybe some that have been there too long, perhaps not enough bite, not enough nastiness. And Mourinho's added, you know, I'm going to use the word, I used it the other day, this isn't for children, but he said he just wanted you guys to be a bunch of cunts. And I just don't think Arsenal...
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at that in Spurs games at the moment. We're giving away clever fouls. We're putting in tackles that are niggly, that leave a bit on a defender. You know, when we're being hit, you look at Lamella, who went down like a sack of spuds, and I hate to see it, but it did get a red card. It then go on to absolutely spank Man United, even though we were the better team at the same time. You know, it's that grit and determination, because we used to have that against us all the time, and we used to be a bit of a soft touch. That thing that Gary Neville said, you know, lads, it's Spurs. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the team, you saw a bit of it creeping in when we faced West Ham, and those 3 goals, including that cracker at the end, that if you get back, we're a little bit fragile. I'm not necessarily sure in the Premier League that's true anymore, but there's a nastiness to the Spurs side that I'm sure, Kevin, you'll agree that real winners have. You know, that Petit and Vieira, grit and determination, willing to do everything to win.
100%, David. Look, as much as I don't like it and I don't like saying it, David, you guys have been pretty consistent over the last few years, especially in the league, getting to the Champions League final. And I think that's why Daniel Levy said, I need somebody who can get these guys over the line. Because,
yeah, and I think Spurs fans.
Go on.
I was going to say, you are Spurs fans, and we all love Pochettino. When Mourinho came in, you know, there were games, but obviously before coronavirus, but you didn't hear Pochettino, and I'm a season ticket holder after he was fired, and you didn't hear Mourinho's name sung. And a lot of people were unsure which way Mourinho was going to play when he came in, but he is a proven winner. You know, you don't win the Champions League, win leagues in multiple different countries, a winner. And the fact of the matter is, he's a winner. And if that means that we counter-attacking football, you know, we're still scoring goals for fun. We're still playing entertaining football. We're just harder to beat. We're playing sensibly and tactically, that in a way that Pochettino, and I still say I love Pochettino, he didn't have us playing. You know, that game against Chelsea, we would have defended valiantly and lost 2-0.
So,
So, David, so here we go into this. You did. We lost you for a minute, but you're the team in form. You're top of the league. We're languishing in 15th, or is it 14th, Casey?
14th. Yeah.
We've had 5 losses. We've garnered, I think it's 6 points from home games, the rest from away games. You know, we're definitely in a very difficult spot right now. And, you know, I guess this is what it's felt like to feel like a Spurs fan for, I don't know, 40 years.
Just a nice little dig in there. Look, absolutely, Spurs, we haven't got anything in recent years in our trophy cabinet. However, I will say, if you look right now in you know, squads and the current team and the way we're playing, I think, you know, 9, if not 10 out of 10 people would take our squad the way we're playing football over yours at the moment.
What would you say to that, Casey?
Listen, I'll take Arsenal's. Arsenal have proven that they can win trophies. Even these underachievers, with no consistency, we question their culture, we question their desire, we question all these things. This Arsenal group have still won trophy, and Spurs haven't. No. There's no.
Yeah, that's
buts,
fine,
David.
And that's true.
David, I let you speak. I'm speaking, right? I'll take these guys because, for all of their frailties, they're Arsenal. They wear the Arsenal badge for me. And yeah, we're going to get rid of some of them because some of them aren't good enough. But you know the truth? The fact that they've worn the shirt, they've won in the shirt, I'll take them. Because you guys all look great, but you've done nothing yet. And until you do, it's always going to be leveled.
We've not won a trophy, but at the same time...
Aldi Cup. That's not fair. They did win the Aldi Cup.
Yeah, no, but the fact of the
matter... Good sport coming on here, by the way, Dave. I've got to tell you,
mate. Yeah, the Aldi Cup, you know. I was just going to say that our squad, absolutely, we will take you winning the FA Cup because year after year, your squad is getting weaker and you're getting further and further away. And come those 2 or 3 years when you don't win an FA Cup, your squad is going to be decimated in a way that it takes you so many years to come back that you won't be a threat to anyone in the top 4. At least the way Spurs are playing, we're on the verge of winning trophies. We haven't. And that is absolutely a criticism that you can level at Spurs. But we're only just a little bit away from it. Currently, David, it's like this is paping over all the cracks.
David, you've been on the verge. You've been on the verge for how many years?
Yeah, absolutely. We absolutely are.
But you've always been on the verge. The key to it is this now. Your wistful thinking about us winning FA Cups and falling away, Mikel Arteta's going to have something for you. He's going to have something for
what
you.
What do you mean? Mikel Arteta's 14th in the table after a year in charge. What is happening for us is a beautiful Christmas present. Arsenal in the bottom half of the table.
I'm just going to get my popcorn. Hold on one second.
David, here's the great thing. He's got an FA Cup on the sideboard, a bit of silverware. He's got a bit of skill.
That's great. So Arsenal fans, don't enjoy watching their club week in, week out. Hate the season, but win a trophy. The only people who like that are A, the plastic fans, and B, the historians. Because actually, Arsenal fans are not enjoying the way they're playing football. They're enjoying watching their club.
David, well, how long have you supported Spurs?
All my life.
Right. So all of your life, you've struggled most of the time because you've seen them underachieve. You've seen them fail. You've seen them do all the things. For Arsenal, this is an anomaly. This isn't the usual. So every team has to go through it. But you guys have been through it for virtually all of your Spurs career. Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm not sure we did underachieve with Pochettino for the amount of football we were playing. We overachieved. We absolutely should have won something in that. But we were absolutely punching well above our weight for the amount of money invested in our squad. Now, Arsenal, I would say, for the amount in your squad, for the way in which you've gone about getting manager and getting the player he wants, I absolutely think you're underachieving. And I would 100% love to win a trophy. I absolutely would. It would if we won the Premier League, so you could just... stick that in your pipe and smoke it. But actually, don't really think that if you look at Arsenal, are you not if the way your former club and its former glory is actually playing at the moment? It's got to be so disappointing.
David, you're upsetting me now. Of course it's disappointing, David. Of course it's disappointing. But here's the thing, David. Arteta's only been there 1 year. He's been at the club 1 year. And within that year...
And he's made it worse from where he was.
Yeah, but hold on, David. If he's made it worse, so the worst Arsenal are still successful and the best Spurs are still unsuccessful. I'll take that for now, but we're coming for you. Watch and see.
Let me ask you this because Newman makes a good point. David, Newman agrees with you. Newman's a regular listener of the show. And yes, Amanda, I got your voice note, but we're not talking about VAR right now. We're in the midst of a trenches Arsenal v Tottenham battle for the North London derby. So we're going to carry on with this. You know what, KC, David, Arsenal's recruitment is hideous compared to Spurs. I would say definitely in this summer transfer window, Spurs had a far superior window to us. And you could argue that perhaps year on year, the last couple of years, they have done better. I'm going to go to you, KC. Go on, KC. Do you think? And then David could jump in.
Last 4 or 5 years, Spurs have done better than us. And it pains me to say it, but it's true. We've brought the silverware. We've got the silverware. But Spurs have been more consistent. They've had better players playing in their squad. And let's be honest, they gave us the biggest fright getting to that Champions League final of my life. That was the biggest fright. Because if they would have won that Champions League, for all of what Arsenal have done, they would have done something we haven't done. So I'm so pleased. And obviously, the two teams in the final, I had to go to Timbuktu because Spurs against Liverpool is just not my dream final. But Spurs never got it done.
I was in Lisbon. It was over after about a minute. So, that was one of the most disappointing trips I've ever been on. But I think, our recruitment has been more sensible, but I think it's also because we've got less of a budget to spend. I know we've spent a lot of money this window, the way that financial fair play has worked because of the coronavirus. You look at how much money Chelsea spent. Actually, the way that the accountants will deal with the depreciation of players, it actually hasn't been that much of an outlay. But what we have done is addressed where we have issues. We had, I think one of the most important signing has been Pierre-Emerick Højbjerg in midfield, who's been absolutely different class. There was a stat that before the Chelsea game, and obviously it's still true, as that was 0-0, 75% of Spurs' goals in this season had either come from a tackle or from an interception. So Højbjerg started the move. You can't really teach that, you know, and that's something that Jose has obviously identified. And he was about 14 odd million, and we sent another player the other way that we didn't want. What Arsenal have seemed to do over the last few years is buy players with names and players that in positions that you don't necessarily need to strengthen, rather than ones to make you a bit more solid. I think, you know, you've your defence has looked really frail for a number of years in a number of positions. I think you signed a great left back, absolutely brilliantly added in Tierney, added to your defence. But then you've got, you know, David Luiz, who on his day is great, but his day is so few and far between that he's made to look a clown week in, week out. And I just think if you had a bit of more solid kind of back five, then your flair players could go and play. I don't see why you don't invest more in that back five and you let your best keeper go.
Casey, I'm going to let you answer that one, and then we're going to let Dave go before we get his prediction as well. And there's a lot. Dave, let me tell. Can I just say, Dave, go on, Casey, answer that question, and then we'll.
Well, that's debatable. It's up to the manager to choose who the better keeper is. And I never heard anybody say Emi Martinez before he came into the team after Leno got injured was better than Leno. Nobody. And then all of a sudden, yeah, he had an absolute purple patch. But that doesn't mean he's better. So let's have it right. In order to be better, you've got to be better consistently. And unfortunately, Emi just didn't have enough games behind him to cement that spot. And Mikel Arteta had to choose, and he chose. But what I will agree with you with, David, is you plug holes that needed to be plugged. Arsenal, even you've probably seen it, the last 10 years, Arsenal have needed a centre-half and a centre-midfielder and never had it. They've never gone out and got them players until Mikel Arteta done it in the summer. So Mikel Arteta knows where the holes are and he's going to try and fill them. But unfortunately, he's inherited a broken-down house, mate. He has to revamp. He has to work with what he's got. And then he has to try and recruit. But the problem is nobody wants our players because the recruitment's been so bad, David. So I agree with you on that one, mate. I do. Sophie, David's gone. He's bumped out.
I think he bumped out because I'll get him back in. I think he just, he couldn't hear. And so I got him back in and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
I sent him messages on what you were saying.
David, I was agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you saying at Spurs, what you've done, you went out and you brought key guys for certain positions that make you better. Forget the name. The problem at Arsenal has been we have an arrogance sometimes about, he's coming from Southampton or he's coming from this team or he's coming from that team. No, they're Premier League proven. They can come in and make a massive difference. And we've got to get rid of that arrogance because we need players who are going to fight and die for that shirt. So I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at some of the players that have made the biggest difference, and you know, you look at a certain midfielder who won a league with Leicester and then won a league with Chelsea. You know, if you could have a player like that in your side, it would make the world of difference. I think, Sophie, if you want to ask for a prediction, I think.
Wait. Before you give me your prediction, I'm going to play this voice note for you from Amanda.
Hey, Soph. Hey, Casey. Hello, Mr. Levine. Hope you're well. Sorry I can't be on the show, but then again, you'd probably prefer me not to be on the show, David. Anyway, I'd like to ask David a question. David, how do you class success? By improving year on year or winning trophies? I'd love to know. Right, everybody, enjoy the show. Bye.
I think absolutely you have to take success as winning trophies. But at the same time, by the same token, if you're not counting European trophies, there are only three domestically that you can win. And I think Arsenal in past years have done fantastically well when you've got the might of Man City and Liverpool and Chelsea spending powers to still consistently win trophies. What do I consider success? I think there is absolutely a measure of success that if I want to go and see my club play football week in, week out, and it's not a chore, I don't feel like, oh God, I have to watch that drab, boring football or that losing football that we were having at the end of Pochettino that we had under previous managers.
Because Mourinho's football is exciting, isn't it?
No, but actually, I mean, look, we are still scoring goals. We're still creating chances.
Counter-attacking team. It's all good. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got United back into the Champions League playing the same way, really, if you think about it. Look, okay, we're running out of time, but David, you have been... Casey, to come on an Arsenal podcast as a Tottenham fan and take all the heat, and I've been putting up all of everyone's posts and stuff like that.
I've been seeing them. What does this look like in a little trophy? I've seen them.
Give us your prediction before you go. You've been a great sport, right, Casey? He's been,
yeah,
he's been
top guy. Lovely, on. David. Lovely. Lovely guy.
I think I'll caveat it with if Hugo Lloris plays, because at the moment it looks like it could be Joe Hart. And if Hugo Lloris plays, I think it's 3-1 and to Spurs. And I think if Joe Hart plays, it might be a 2-2.
All right. Okay, we love that. And you know what? We love you. Tell everyone where they can find you as well on Twitter and what you do as well, David. I mean, seriously, brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. Let everyone know where they can find you.
I'm at David Levine, which is spelt just here, on Twitter. And you can find me making radio shows in your ears most weeks.
And look, everyone's saying, David, good man. Fair play to David. Well done for coming on. We really appreciate you.
Truth,
round of applause. You listen, this is why I invited him on. He's not the Spurs fan that just spouts rubbish. He knows his stuff. He's been in radio and entertainment his entire career. And agree, Barry, he is a really good sport for coming on. David, let's hope
for you enjoy the game. I hope you lose, but enjoy it.
Get off, David. All right, you bad your lot. Get off.
Get off.
See you later.
Bye. We're removing you. Bye bye.
Get off.
Get off. Agree, Robin, as well. Big up. Very nice, everybody. Well done. Right, now we're going to get some more questions. I'm going to get to some of these truth serum moments for you on YouTube, Casey. From our part one on the KC show this week. Here we go. Casey, I'm going to read you some good ones. Casey absolutely nailed it. The biggest issue at the club, lied to our faces about our future. We did not set out to win the league, merely just to do enough to finish in the top four as a trophy. Unfortunately, the new Arsenal mentality is a little bit of a loser from top to bottom. There's someone who agreed with you. I also have one here for you from Mark Sweet. Kev is suggesting that it's down to the players because under three managers, they're doing the same thing. But maybe it's because the managers are all of the same type, too soft. These players need a kick up the backside. Would these players be playing like this under a Jose or a Pochettino? Arteta has been faux tough in his treatment of Ozil and Guendouzi, but his cover has been blown, letting Willian get away with murder. Pepe wouldn't speak out whilst on international duty if he had a manager who respected and he feared. Says he loved Wenger. What do you think about that one, Casey? That's a great point. That's an interesting one.
Well, it's a point, but it's not true. It is not true. Listen, when you are a manager of Arsenal Football Club, there are certain standards that has to be adhered to. And I don't think Arteta is soft at all. I think Arteta is putting some parameters in place that the players have to stick to. And the same players who don't stick to it, who are now out of the team, out of the squad, or gone on loan, who got a clean slate and didn't want to toe the line, now people are moaning for them to come back. No, they are not good enough up here. They are not good enough. So if they're not good enough up here, they're not good enough in here, in the heart. So get out of the club. You're not welcome. Because you know what? You have to be committed fully.
Okay.
To the football club.
So I'm going to read you a harsh one. You know, you like...
Come, bring it.
Okay, you ready?
Bring it.
Why do you keep having this fraud on here continuing to say... because he was an Arsenal player, he knows it all. That was years ago. KC,
I never said I know it all.
Right, I know. That's right. From Let's Trevor, that right. 59. You know, you said to me, I love the good ones and the hard ones, so I'm reading the hard ones. Crap and the good. Okay. Here's one from Matt EA. Love KC, no, but he's...
No. Can I answer this one?
Of course. Yeah.
Can I answer this one? This is important. I'm pleased this one come up. So, how could I be a fraud when I've been in the dressing room? I've played in the games. I've won trophies at Arsenal in the team. How can I be a fraud?
Boom. I wanted to read that one to you just because I know you
but this is important. Now, what people must understand, because you watch football, that doesn't mean you know football.
That's why we have you on the show.
Knowing football from the inside is totally different for what fans see on the outside. So that's why I give up my time to come on here and listen to whatever you guys want to throw at me. Because you know what? I haven't got all the answers of what happens with Arteta. But one thing I do know, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to Arsenal Football Club and what it takes to win. Because I've been there.
Boom shakala. Look at everyone jumping in right here in the chat as well. Okay, I have one here from Mattier. Love KC, but not all of his answers are adding up. He says we could not sell any of these players, but the biggest culprits, Xhaka and Bellerin, were almost out of the door when Arteta dragged them back in, a little bit like Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. So he's saying for this reason he can't back Arteta because he kind of went back on what he was saying. I would much rather Maitland-Niles was playing at right back. Torreira, we kept him instead of Xhaka. Torreira had a great attitude, just wasn't given a proper chance. What do you think about Mattier saying that your answers don't add up based on what Arteta has done?
Well, the question is, how do we know they were on their way out of the club? It's only speculation that they were out of the club. Speculation, there's been a bid for Bellerin. You never ever heard that there was a bid for Bellerin from within the club. Mikel Arteta never said we've had a 40 million pound bid from PSG for Hector Bellerin and we don't want him to go. Never happened. Never happened for Xhaka. Nobody ever said that. Maybe there was an inquiry, but there was nothing stone wall. And also, he would have needed to replace them. And that is the problem. Because whether we like it or not, the squad is too big. He needs to shed players to free up space for wages. He can't do it, Sophie. He could not do it. Players who should have left stayed for whatever reason. And that's why we are still having the same players.
Yep. You are listening to the Highbury squad. We are the Highbury squad. This is Kevin Says Hybrid Show with the Friday Fan Forum. Some fantastic questions and points coming in. I have one here from Josiah. He mentions the O word, but I always, again, Casey, I'm throwing things at you as they come in
Throw it, yeah.
Listen, bench Aubameyang. If we're not playing good enough to create chances, there's no point in playing him. Players nowadays don't offer trust, don't offer just one thing. Wasn't that the reason Ozil was put in the fridge?
No. Ozil was put in the fridge because he didn't buy into Arteta's culture. At first, remember, Arteta played Ozil at the start. Ozil, after the COVID and they got back to training, all of a sudden Ozil wasn't involved. Why wasn't he involved? Because he wasn't part of the culture. He would not do what Arteta wanted him. He never came back in shape, etc., etc. That's why, and the team was successful without him. That's Ozil's problem. And do you know what? Do you know what the most important thing in football is to be able to do is to score goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing we need. And we've got one of the best strikers around. He's still one of the best strikers around. He's going through a difficult time at the moment. But the moment you bench him and we don't win, what are you going to say? We should have had Oberon if we create shot. We should have had Aubameyang on. We're stupid if we don't. What's the point in having the best gun if you don't fill it with bullets? What's
Hello.
The point?
Yep. KC, I know that we promised 1 hour. Got a couple more really good ones. Musa, Arteta.
Yeah, let's deal with them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Musa rides off on what you're saying. Arteta's afraid of giving the young guns a go. Do we really need to recruit? There are a few youngsters who can make the difference. You kind of argue the fact too, which is really important, in that just because you perform really well against weaker teams in the Europa League doesn't mean you're ready for the Premier League. What's your take on what Musa's saying, KC?
Well, I think what we've seen, Sophie, and this is a good point, actually. It's a good question.
Mm.
What we've seen is some of these players have played Europa League football for the last three seasons now, off and on. And they've come into the league team now and again and done okay. But they haven't set the world alight. Remember, even After the international break, everyone was saying, you know, Joe Willock, we should give Willock a chance. Played Willock at Leeds. Never quite worked out that way. Probably, you know, because of Pepe got sent off, etc. And they had to change it. You know, saw Willock against Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Done okay, but weren't great. Wasn't like how we played in the Europa League. Because the Europa League isn't. The level isn't there. The Premier League level is high, high, high. The Europa League level at the moment isn't as high. But at least we get to see the qualities of these players. The key to it all is, can these youngsters perform at a Premier League level on a regular basis? And at the moment, they can't. Even the so-called tried and trusted players can't. So that's the difficulty that Arteta has.
So here's a follow-up to that, because Mark Sweet said, thanks for reading my question, but Kev didn't explain how this tough manager Arteta, who booted out Ozil and Guendouzi, could let Willian give it Willian advantage. No consistency in decisions, favouritism on and off the pitch. We've talked about that a little bit, KC, and I want you to give us your feedback too on the supposed player meeting reported by ESPN, I believe it was, where the team had a meeting and then players stayed in afterwards and fingers were pointed. I'm sure there were handbags at Dawn involved in that too. I'm sure you've been involved in player meetings where you've got a huddle and get together outside of when the manager leaves the room. And what are your thoughts on what Mark just said, and also the report that came out today that the players went at each other in this meeting?
In theory, a manager treats everybody the same. In theory. But that is not reality. We're talking about reality now. An experienced player is not treated the same as a Guendouzi. Let's get this right. It's just like a sibling, an older sibling isn't treated the same as a younger sibling. That's just facts. Now, Arteta, if you're an experienced player, Arteta will treat you respectfully because you've earned that right. You've earned it. For a young player like Guendouzi, who's just coming in, his manager tells him, listen, you were out of order there. Blah, blah, blah. And then he's kicking off and doesn't want to know. That's only going to end one way, Sophie. Only going to end one way. And I understand Willian went off to Dubai, didn't tell the manager. He's not going to get reprimanded like a youngster. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's not. And this is just fact. Do you reckon Tony Adams? Do you reckon Paul Merson? Do you reckon Paul Davis, do you reckon those guys? Do you reckon I was treated the same as those guys when I was coming through? No chance.
You went supersonic on that one too.
Yeah,
I love
man,
it.
No chance. No, but Sophie,
No, I know. It's the same in corporate life too. VPs, executive VPs, they get treated differently. They do.
You have to earn. And why do they get treated differently, Sophie? Because they've earned the position. Once you've earned that position.
Yeah, some have.
Yeah, well, once you've got to that position.
There you go.
But in football, it's different because you have to earn it.
Yeah.
Nobody's just going to give it you. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, once you're
at that position, the manager will treat you accordingly. Not that you can do anything you want, but he's a little bit more lenient with you. That's all, because you've earned that position. So I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I get the argument. But reality says you cannot treat everybody the same. No matter how much you think you can, you can't.
No, I know. And you and I went at it when that happened on Monday and went back and forth. Can we all just give a shout out to Ian Barron? Hi, Ian. He says, hi, I'm a Darlington FC fan. And we were made bankrupt in 2011, reformed in 2012, had three promotions and are currently a fan-owned National League North club. We were demoted four leagues. Ian, thank you so much for finding us.
Good old club, that Darlington. Good
Darlington.
Club.
I mean,
yeah.
I love how a lot of these fans find us and listen to us. Okay, KC is a striker. If you're only getting one or two chances a game, this is from DVV. Surely you won't be happy playing. The pressure on both strikers. If they missed, I mentioned this to you. Why is Lacazette the scapegoat when he's only getting one or two chances in a game, KC? A great point from DVV.
No, do you know what, Soph? I think sometimes the chances fall to Lacazette. The chances fall to Lacazette as opposed to Aubameyang, probably because of the proximity of where Lacazette plays. And don't forget, he's our top goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's had a little bit more luck, that goal against, what was it? Who did he score against? Leicester.
He scored against Leicester.
He scored. If that goes in and we're 1-0 up, we probably end up winning the game. And you never know what happens after that. But we've had some bad breaks. We haven't ripped any trees up. And we haven't played well as a team. We haven't. I hold my hands up, we haven't. We've had a little snapshot at Manchester United. But on a whole, we haven't played well as a team, and probably that's why Lacazette gets the stick, because remember, he had opportunities at Anfield, he had opportunities against Villa, he had some opportunities where it's all kind of fell to him and it hasn't quite worked out for him. But
okay,
I still like Laka. I still rate him highly.
There was venom in that shot. I don't care who your opposition is, right? You still have to score a goal like that. And yeah, the ball moved and the goalkeeper could have done a better job. But that's coming from somewhere with a point to prove. And I think that he did that. Right, we're going to get your predictions in, everyone. Start pumping them into chat because we've only got KC now for two. I've already taken him into overtime, which is going to cost me time and a half. Actually, he does this completely for free. So it's going to cost me free time and a half. But what a legend that you can actually be sitting here on a Friday night talking football before the North London Derby with Super Kevin Campbell, a man who scored against Spurs as well. All right, KC, this is from James Wager on YouTube. And you and I have gone back and forth on this as well with Amanda too. It's amazing how it was Emery's fault and now it's the player's fault when the squad is now better. Can you just please underline to everybody what your point of difference is between the two? I say to you, one won their cup final and didn't, but what's your take?
Yeah, the first season, Emery done okay until the last eight games. Let's be brutally honest. Emery, there was a 22-game unbeaten run in there as well. Fantastic. Got us into the position where we wanted to be, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing Crystal Palace at home and Brighton at home, and we needed a win. He picks an inferior team against Crystal Palace. We get beat, and we're winning 1-0 against Brighton at home, and Granit Xhaka decides to put his hands on the Brighton player in the box and pulls him back, penalty. We end up drawing the game, and our Champions League chances went down the pan. But we had another opportunity, Sophie. We've done very well. We've done very well to get to the Europa League final. We're playing, it's a London derby all the way out in Baku. First half is pretty tight. Mm-hmm. Arsenal never turned up in the second half. And always remember this, Sophie. Do you remember when Unai Emery took an MO off?
Yeah.
And how MO...
Oh, yeah. Like Xhaka, but he didn't get killed like Xhaka, did he? I mean, Xhaka right. was captain on that game. I understand there's a difference.
Right. Now, we roll on to the next season. And we were awful. There was five captains. There was infighting. There was draws. There was all sorts going on. Ultimately ending with Granit Xhaka throwing the shirt down and swearing at the crowd because he was getting some stick. That's what it boiled down to. There was rumours coming out that the players didn't understand what he was doing, the tactics and all this kind of thing. The problem was, Sophie, the players reverted to type. That's all. And they're reverting to type again now. That's what they're doing. They're reverting to type because they are not players who have the culture, who have the will to win, and who can produce on a consistent basis. They're not.
They're mentally impotent. This is why I think we should approach the game on Sunday like a cup game, like an FA Cup game. Because I feel like there's something mentally that the team resonate with. And someone mentioned it in chat that we can rise for an FA Cup game because it feels like the players feel that history more because we've won it more. Whereas a lot of these players don't even know what it feels like to be competing in the Premier League. Some do just from the tail end of the Wenger years. But here we go, Casey. All right. I know you've had a long day, so I'm going to get you out on these. 12 minutes overtime, VAR decisions. Amanda's voice note came in handy in the end. All right, here we go. Billy Kitkat, 3-1. Socorino, 3-1 to Tottenham. Last man standing, 2-1. Come on, you Gunners. Newman says he hates himself for actually putting this score up. 3-0 to Spurs. Tony Mills, 2-2. David, 2-1 Spurs. Tony, 3-1 with an Oba hat trick. 2-1 to the Arsenal from Barry. We are going 3-1 from Robin. Tubio here says 3-1, Spurs Kane double and an assist. It's very mixed. I've been telling you, here we go. We've got Winston, 2-1 to the Gunners. Jose, 4-4. Okay, Mike, you hilarious little devil you over there with your... It's not the FA Cup, even though I said we're comparing it to a cup game. It's not actually a cup game, mate. Akindele, 2-2. And then, 6-0. That must be a Spurs fan. Thank you for joining us this evening. Mark Macro Russell, 2-1. Big Gunner D, 2-1 to the Arsenal. Moronga, we're going to win this 2-1. We got Denko here, Arsenal 2, Spurs 1. And then here, 100% about mentality. And by the way, AFTW just wants to correct me that they are not a Spurs fan. Right, KC, we are going to do... Are you around for the game day show on Sunday?
I'm going to be traveling and I'm hoping...
Okay.
I'm hoping I am back. So,
okay, perfect.
Fingers crossed, if everything goes well, I'll be there.
Okay, all right, perfect. You guys, Socorino, thank you. Aubameyang, 30 years old, 1 goal, 8 games. Harry Kane, 28, 10. Yes, we understand that. But listen... They're due a loss, we're due a win. I'm not going to give my prediction till Sunday, but let me just tell you all week, and Casey can tell you this in our WhatsApp group, I fancy us. I do. I think somehow Arteta is going to mentally talk to the players, Casey, and you can tell me, would the manager do that? Would he say, would he kind of take this as a cup game and talk to them all week as it's a cup game before I let you go? I'm squeezing one more out of you.
I think the manager will treat it like any other game, but it isn't. And I think the manager, he has to start putting the onus on the players, Sophie. The onus is on the players, because you know what, Sophie? I've said this once and I've said this again. It's not the manager who plays. The manager carries the can. But it's the players that have to play. Now, if the manager has to try and motivate a team to play against that lot down the road, something is wrong. Trust me, something is wrong.
Yeah.
I truly believe, and I'm not going to go with my head on this one. I'm going to go with my heart, right? I think Arsenal are going to turn up. And Arsenal are going to give them a hell of a game, and we're going to win the game 2-1. That's my prediction. I predict 2-1. Because... solely because it is their duty now to produce.
Yeah.
If they don't... Do you know what, Sophie? If they don't turn up for this game, that tells us so much about these players.
Yeah.
So much about these players.
100%.
If they don't turn up. If they do turn up, it shows us that they've got some pride left.
Yep. And this is a good one. Can't underestimate Arteta, but the thing Arteta must figure out is, when not performing 30 minutes or so, put positive players on that need to win us games. I think he knows what this game means. He's played in it many times. He knows. He also knows what's at stake. Can't afford to lose. One thing we can draw, but we cannot afford to lose this game. We said on this podcast, Leeds, Wolves, Tottenham cannot afford to lose all three of those games. Got to start making progress in the Premier League. Players have to start showing up, but Arteta also has to have the balls, Casey, to be brave and make changes. And sometimes a North London derby is where a player can rise and be a hero and shine. Who wants to wear that badge? Who wants to be the man who has that honour to be lauded as a cult hero, the same way Torreira was and has been since the day he scored that fourth goal and took off that shirt and we celebrated? You give Unai Emery that. That was one of the best ever North London derbies in the last 10 years. And Arteta can have a moment here. This team can have a moment here. They're going to have 2,000 fans in their stadium. They're all cocky. They all think they're going to win, Casey. We've been reading it on Twitter. We've been getting messages from our mates.
Big they time.
They think they've got this in the bag. But it's not over till the fat referee blows the whistle.
Listen, we can win. We can go there and we can beat. And the fact that fans are there is going to be even better for us. Because that adds a little bit more spice, a little bit more sauce, hot sauce on it. Mm-hmm. The boys just need to turn up and fight for that badge. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if only you could be in the dressing room G-ing them up, Casey. Listen, I think we're going to see some changes. I think he's going to make some ballsy moves. Hopefully you will be around for the match day program on Sunday. That's right, Fight fans. We are going to be on air just before the match. We will be on air at halftime and we will come on post-game for a show too. We can't do the show without you. Brilliant questions tonight for Super Kev. I know he loves it. And you love, I've said it two or three times during the show, he's unafraid to look at the good comments, the criticism, and all of it and answer them. And Super Kev, you've done it once again with so much style, grace, and passion. Thank you so much.
Listen, is it finished now or is it just the beginning? Let's make it the beginning, Arsenal. Let's win and start again. As the old-time song used to say, rip it up and start again. You remember that song?
Yes.
You remember that song? All right.
I do.
So, come on, Arsenal. It's all about Arsenal.
Let's do it. KC, one more time. Tell them.
It's all about Arsenal. So, come on, you Gunners. Come on.